Excuse me. Let's start with a word of prayer. And then we'll sing a song. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this new day and for life and health and strength. For, Lord, the desire and the ability, for the facilities, Lord, to be here. Please bless each one of us, Father. And I know we miss Ling and Frank and Dr. Shang and Will and Christine. And Esther and Pat and Steve, of course, as well. And I pray you, Lord, please, that you would just be with them at this time, as well as with our neighbours and family and friends, even those that don't yet know you, Lord, pray for a great conviction for a saving of souls. But Lord, we pray that you would be one of our number as we take this time aside from the world to worship and praise you, to listen to your word, Lord, and to have your word preached, Lord, and for a wee bit of Christian fellowship. Bless our time together and in your presence. And Father, we pray this too. We're not forgetting Brother Stan. I know he'll be kicking off in another 24 hours, but for the folks up in Bangor and for our brothers and sisters around the world, and especially for those that are in countries that just don't like you at all, Lord, please preserve them. Please keep them. Please divinely provision them as well, Lord. Us as well. We ask this, Lord, and of course our many private prayer requests and petitions, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Hymn number 54 will be our first hymn of the evening. Hymn number 54, That Will Be Glory. Someday it will be glory for us. Every single thing and hardship that we ever had in this world will be look like nothing whenever we see him face to face. Number 36, that'll be our next one. And number 36, Christ Arose. saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Amen. All right. Norman, would you come up and bring us the Bible reading, brother, if you would.
Our reading this evening is from 1 Peter chapter 4. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when he walked in this evenness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think in strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Whom shall give account of him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch until prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man has received the gift, even to minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and domination for ever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happening unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil, spoken out, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. The time has come that judgment must begin the house of God, and it is first begin at us. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of the souls to him in well doing as unto a faithful Creator. Amen.
Thanks, Norman. Some excellent verses there at the very, very end. Very much appreciate the reading. Appreciate Steve as well. He's still sending us the suggestions for the Bible verses. I just want to remind you, this isn't in favour of anybody's anything today, it's just the yellow prayer list, that you take one of those home with you, that you please bear in mind all of the names and events that are mentioned there. They all need praying for. And I don't think there's anything there about the current state of the country, but that definitely needs praying for as well, so don't forget that too. Everything to do with the Charity Commission at the moment is still all, well, it's not so much up in the air as they are getting stuff done. Please do continue to think about that. But most importantly, pray for each other. Don't forget William and Christine and their family, and the Cairns family too, and of course Norman as well, as they grieve over lost loved ones. There are sadly going to be many people that have very, very difficult times over the next few weeks and months. Please do pray for them. I think that's really about that, unless there's anything else we would need to be praying about, is there? Oh yes. Did everybody get a text regarding Pat's brother Edward? Edward he was born with Down syndrome. I think he was only supposed to make it maybe into his 30s, but he's now 55, 6, 7, something along that lines. He has been looked after very well and he has done very well, but they have stopped treating him in hospital because nothing that they are giving him is working. So they're looking at basically pain relief and just keeping them comfortable. Seemingly that with Downs people, chest infections can be very, very sore, and he has got one that antibiotics won't shift. So please do pray for Pat and Steve and Pat's family. She has a bunch of other sisters and a brother. Florence, Marie, Janet, Evelyn, Helen, Anne, and a brother, Alfie. So not expecting you to remember all those. I had to think hard about those as well. But please do pray for Pat and her family at this time. I do believe he'll go straight to heaven. I don't think he ever really knew anything about anything except what he liked. And that was just about that. He will be sorely missed. He was definitely, certainly an innocent. And I think Monica had an uncle Ralph, and what they said about him was, whenever he passed away, he's whole for the first time.
And that'll happen to Edward whenever he steps off into eternity. But please do pray for Pat and her family. Pray for our ministers. Not these ministers, but they need prayed for. But I mean our governmental ministers. Pray for America at this time as well. And of course all the other countries in the world. But don't forget Israel. God says be good to Israel and he'll be good to you. Amen. Right, we'll have a word of prayer. And then we will sing another song. Christy, if you would, brother, would you lead us?
Lord, we thank you for this night, Lord, the ability, Lord, and freedom to come into your house. Bless the service, Lord. We thank you for the song so far, we pray. And for the reading, Lord, we pray for the songs we're about to sing, Lord, for the message you've laid upon Pastor Hart, Lord, to bless and guide that, strengthen him, Lord, and in spite of the head cold, Lord, just minister to his needs, Lord. Feed him so he can feed us, we pray. Lord, accomplish your will amongst us this evening. Bless and guide your word. Help us guide us in your will, we pray. Remember those families, Lord, the Ritchie family, Lord, for Norman, for Karen's family as well, Lord, they're grieving, Lord, the loss of a loved one. We pray that you comfort for them, please. We pray for common sense for minister, government leaders as well. The country's leaders, Lord, with the upcoming election, that their will be accomplished in America as well, Lord. Lord, help those that are downcast, Lord, that are sick, Lord, and those, Lord, who don't have the minister and family in and around them, Lord, coming into this lockdown. I pray that, Lord, you give us a desire to look out for our neighbors, Lord, to be that difference, Lord, and help in each of the communities, Lord, and just show you forth in the best light possible as well. Guide us as a church, Lord, continue to work with us. I pray that you'd sort out the Charities Commission, Lord, the purchase of the land, that you'd, Lord, preserve the church, Lord, until the repairs can get done too, we pray. Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done for each individual in this church, Lord, and the church as a whole. Continue to work with us. Lord, help us be a light in this city. Lord, just drive us for a suicide far from here too, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. All right. If you'd like to take your hymn books again. We've already had one little taste of Christmas this evening. We'll have this other one by way of a practice. 424, if you're able, we'll stand as we sing, Come All Ye Faithful. Be seated. And you can put your hymn books away for a little bit. And you can, if you would like to join me in the book of Judges this evening. Book of Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6 and beginning at verse number 1. I'm going to read a dozen or so verses in this portion of God's Word. I want to spend a little bit of time this evening on the subject of why. Why with a question mark? Judges chapter 6, beginning at verse number 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, excuse me, till they come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under the oak tree that was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, I think that's right, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry till thou come again. Amen. We're stopping there. We want to take verse number 13 as our text verse, if you like. And about a third of the way or a quarter of the way through that, we are taking the why from the question that Gideon offered unto the Lord. Why is all this happening to us? Let's have another word of prayer, and then we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, we thank you again. Please bless our time together. He's put your good hand upon the many, many people in Northern Ireland and across the world. And I pray you, Lord, if you would give people a break from the deaths and the COVID cases and this, that and the other. And if it would be your will, Lord, would you even now just call a halt to souls losing their lives, even if it's only for one day? Please give people an opportunity, Lord, a chance to think about you, Lord, to think about what you would have people to do. Not what they want to do, and not their inconvenience, but about what you would have people to do. I pray you, Lord, please, for your presence this evening. Lord, that you would just walk up and down the hall and speak to each one of us. You know who's saved, you know who's lost, you know where we are in our walk with you. You know exactly what we need, Father. Please supply that need. And Lord, we're not forgetting Pat and Steve, and Ling and Will and Christine. We're not forgetting Esther either, Lord. Or all the other souls that are members of our CD church. I pray you, Father, please, that you would comfort and strengthen and heal and, Lord, chasten, if that's what it is, not just them. All of us, Lord, keep us on the right track. Now, Father, we leave this time in your hands and pray that you would take and use it as you see fit. Pray for the words to speak. And I pray you, Lord, for your presence to be felt right the way across this land and the world. As any soul stands up and preaches the full counsel of your word, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your son. Please be with us now, Lord, I pray you. Amen. Amen. The title for our message is Why? And we take it from verse number 13, where the Lord says to the angel of the Lord, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our father told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." I am sure everybody has heard of Gideon. If you haven't heard of Gideon, maybe the great victory that the Lord won using Gideon will refresh your memory. Because, first of all, well, there's a couple of things happened. First of all, Gideon was the man that talked about putting a fleece out for the Lord to make the fleece wet in the night and the ground dry the one night, and the next night the fleece to be dry and the ground to be wet, as a sign that he was going to, that this was indeed the God of the Bible, the God of the Jewish people, that was going to give him this great victory. In this particular case, the sign that this is an angel of the Lord was that he went and prepared some flesh and unleavened cakes and set them on a rock, and the angel touched the rock and flame came up out of the rock and consumed the sacrifice that Gideon had prepared for God. But as we go on, if we were to read the next chapter, which we're not going to read, at least not tonight, you would find that Gideon was the leader of the valiant 300 that didn't go with armor and shields and spears and stuff. They went with a trumpet and a lantern, and they got this great victory over their enemies and began the redemption of Israel in the sight of all those that hated her. So we even ask this question, why? The very first verse of Judges 6 tells us why God allowed the children of Israel to fall into the hands of Midian. And it's really quite simple. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. I want to tell you something. It takes work to be a Christian. It takes nothing to behave like an animal. It takes absolutely no self-control, and it takes no money whatsoever to behave like an animal. You just do the first thing that comes into your head, and that's you behaving like an animal. It's the first thing that comes into your head. Maybe you'll want to eat something, and that's grand. We all need to eat. Next thing that comes into your head is you don't want to get out of your bed, and that's grand because we all need sleep. But we don't need to be eating and sleeping all the time. Or maybe if you're out with some of your friends and somebody's acting the smart guy and you feel like you ought to hit that guy a slap in the chops, and so you do as you behave like an animal. Don't be surprised when other people behave just exactly the same way back to you again. And it's easy to behave like an animal. It's easy to stop reading your Bible. It takes you work to open your Bible. It takes you work to behave like a Christian. It takes you saying no to yourself. But the children of Israel, they got their promised land, they got their victories over the people, and then they stopped working. They stopped going to church on a Saturday. They stopped reading their Bible the other days of the week. They stopped talking about the great things that God would do. And they started talking about all the bad things, all the wicked things. Now the Bible says they're bad, but people love to do them. They started talking about all of the devil worshipping and all of the throwing their little children into the fire. And we get so much relief from doing that, we're free to do whatever we want. And they partied and they drank and they did drugs and they lived awful immoral lives. But anyway, the answer to the question is people left God. And when you leave obeying God, you can't expect God to bless you and to watch over you and to keep you. You can't expect to see God when you wander so very, very far away from them. And so, things got so bad that after all of the victories that they had, after all of the battles that they had won, all the people that they decimated, all the the riches that they inherited from these people, all the cities that they got, the cattle that they got, the gold, the silver, the precious stones, the swords, the shields, the spears, even the very food left in barns. God took it all away. It was gone like that because they rejected God. It got so bad that even as they struggled to put enough grain and to keep enough flocks going just to feed themselves, that these enemies that they'd been sold into the hands of, they would come into the land and they would steal their grain. They would destroy the land. And this is where our hero Gideon comes in. Before we even get to the prophet and before we even get to the angel, we get to the point where people are brought to such a low ebb. What do they do? What do people always do when their own strength fails them, when their own wisdom fails them, when they run out of their own assets, their own money? What do people do? Oh God, help us. I think, however, God knew that this one was for real. That they had finally learned their lesson. When every other thing that they had failed them, there was one thing, one person that never let them down, and that was God Almighty. So they cried out to him, God save. Do you remember Peter? Oh God, save me. And Jesus reached out his hand and saved him as Peter started to sink beneath the waves. Do you remember Jehoshaphat? Save me. He cried out to the Lord to save him whenever he was about to be attacked, for they thought he was Ahab. And they suddenly, there's no way Ahab will be calling out to the Lord. And so they left him and went after somebody else until they found Ahab. God will save those that genuinely call out to him for help. And here we have the children of Israel calling, and God sends them a prophet. And he reminds them of the great salvation that he gave them in years gone by in verses number 7 and 8. I saved you from Egypt. I carried out many miracles. I sustained you in the wilderness. Do you think that there is a time limit on my grace or on my power? Am I not still able to do all of those things? He said, don't be afraid of all the gods of the land. You ought to pay attention to me. And so he comes to Gideon. And he comes down, the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon, and Gideon says, well, we've heard the prophet. We know about the things that God used to do. Why does he not do them anymore? Why are we in this sticky situation? Why are we at such a low point? And the Lord goes on to speak to Gideon and says, I'll deliver Israel through you. And Gideon says, but I'm a nobody. I'm the poorest in the tribe of Manasseh. How are you going to use me? And God says, I'll show you a sign if you want. And we already spoke about the signs, the three signs that the Lord showed to Gideon that he would work through him. And then we already know, because we have the benefits, a little bit like God, of being able to look up and down history as we read the Old and the New Testament in any order that takes our fancy. We know that he received a great deliverance with only 300 men that started to play a song really loudly. They struck the front off their lanterns, they got the trumpets out and blew the trumpets. And they said, for the Lord and for Gideon, and all their enemies ran and killed each other, thinking that the enemy was in the camp. A great deliverance. God is the same yesterday, today and forever. I want to start with that little reminder. And the same God that was breaking the hearts of those that hated God is the same God that can still do that today. The same God that won the victory with Gideon with 300 men against many, many thousands is the same God that can give us the victory that day. But we're in the wee bit here around verse number 13. Whenever we say, well, why are things the way they are? Why is the Christian church so empty, so powerless? Why do we not see God's hand in people's lives anymore? Why is that? I think honestly, if we look back to the beginning of Judges chapter 6, and I'm not pointing at anybody, I'm pointing at mankind, Christians especially, in general. We have done evil in the sight of the Lord. We have let unbelievers make our laws, and we have bowed the knee to them. Like Egypt, where it was legal to murder the children, never right to do so. And I am sure there were many Jewish people back in the day, many of the children of Israel killed their little children to try and stay right with the law. It's still wrong. No matter how many judges line up to say it's okay, it's still wrong. We have become like Sodom and Gomorrah, where even the grossest of immoralities has become legal and desirable. And these souls that pursue these lifestyles will never be happy until they make you bow the knee and say what they do and the way they live is absolutely fine. Whenever the guys that stand behind the pulpits, most of them are no good money-hungry lying compromisers, and they're happily leading generations of the people that they're supposed to be pointing to heaven straight to hell. Whenever mothers and fathers have abdicated responsibility in leading their families and leave it to the children, you wonder why God is not able to or can't find a soul that is prepared to work for him. When God's law in his house has become God's advice, and you can take or leave advice, but a law is something different altogether. When salvation has become living a good life, and when even God's word, the King James Bible, the word of God that is easiest to read, makes it simple to get saved, and leave space for everybody in heaven, is relegated to fundamentalist circles and old fogies. When living for Christ makes you a goody two-shoes, and they would rather have a minister that smokes and drinks and tells bawdy stories. When mothers dress like harlots and fathers behave like drunkards and whoremongers, what chance do the children have? When good things are ridiculed and evil things are lifted up as an example of the way we should live our lives. When we have no problem whatsoever doing what we want whenever God says we should be doing something different. Whenever we never open our Bibles and plant it in our hearts. Whenever we tithe okay, but it doesn't go to the church, it goes to all our little hobbies and all the things that we'd like to do. When church has become an inconvenience. When people are so stupid and so shallow that they will listen to other people who are paid to say and do anything for the right amount of money. When we wonder why family members are going to the dogs. Why our prayers never get answered. The answer is because God's people have done evil in the sight of the Lord. Why do we have no joy in our lives? When fear has become the motivating factor. Fear of what other people think or say or do if I stand for the Lord. We wonder. There is certainly no power. Saved souls have no desire to step out and to serve God. They're not stepping out for God, but they're stepping out on God to worship other pagan deities, even if it's their own feelings. I just got to thinking about Revelation chapter 2, the church at Ephesus, where they had a lovely church that seemed to be doing well, but God said, I have something against you because you have left your first love. Do you know what? The church doors are open, but people's hearts are closed and locked with a chain. Because that's where we are, and there are so many others just like it right now. The reason that we don't have any people like the Moody's and the Carey's, the Judson's, all the other great leaders of years gone by, Christian leaders, and I'm not talking about leading countries, I'm talking about just leading churches, leading souls. It's because people don't want to do it. And then wonder why God seems to be absent. He's absent in our lives, he's absent in our prayers, he's absent if we ever do go to open the Word of God. He's certainly absent in the churches. Why is it we are under such bondage to the world, the flesh and the devil? Because we have sinned. And we have allowed so much wickedness to creep in and dictate the terms in our lives. What happened to the children of Israel was that God took everything away from them that was holding them back. There's two ways of doing this. We can keep going the way we're going and let the world, the flesh and the devil, organized by God, strip us of everything that we love, everything that we have put in front of God. Or we can put God back in front of everything again. And that's entirely up to us. And I know that We certainly don't want to think that we would ever be in that situation, but there's not one of us is where we could be for God. Myself included. It's time we left off of trusting in our gadgets and our strength and our wisdom, our riches, our buds, and started trusting in God. Started following God. I find that, I'm trusting in God, I've heard people say, but do you ever go to church? No. Do you ever read your Bible? No. Do you ever tell anybody about Jesus? No. I'd say you're a liar. You're a liar and a fraud. Are you saved? No. Well, I want for you to understand something, that these are the last days mentioned in the Bible. And all the things that Jesus said would happen before he comes back have happened, except for one thing. And that's the rapture. That's the catching away of every saved soul so that God can judge the world. That's the only thing that has to happen. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15. And if you are saved, there's going to come a day very, very soon and an awful lot quicker than you think that you're going to stand in front of God. And God's going to ask you this one thing. What did you do with the life I gave you? That's the first thing. It's going to get sorted out in every single saved soul's life. What did you do with the life that I gave you? Did you sit in your backside and play video games, watch TV, drink, smoke, curse, swear, sleep around the country? Or did you actually go out and tell people that they have souls that are precious in the sight of a thrice holy God? Which one was it? Which one is it? That'll be the first thing. And after that, I certainly don't want to waste any time, and you may not think much of your own life, but you should be considerate of other people's lives. If you don't think much of your own life, give it to God and let him make something useful out of it. But for your soul that is saved, get stuck into the Word of God. And let the Word of God get stuck in you. Get back to the foot of the cross, the same foot of the cross where you got saved, and let the Savior work in your heart and mind. Let him make you into the child of the King of Kings that he knows you can be. A couple of years back, before we were blessed, in quotes, with nationwide abortion and nationwide homosexual and lesbian marriage, it struck me when asked by an Australian TV presenter, journalist, or whomever it was, why is it that you oppose, or what do you think makes people like homosexuals and lesbians and transgender and cross-dressers and pedophiles work so hard and make so much fuss about you Christians kicking up? And it just struck me. They don't want to be convicted of their sins. They may have drowned out the preaching that the creation does. It preaches a message of salvation. And they may have drowned out the compromising ministers, the preachers that'll shut up for fear of losing their 3 foreign holidays and a new car every 3 years. They just want everyone to say that they are okay. They even want these so-called compromisers, these traitors mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that are heady and high-minded, having a form of godliness, but absolutely denying the power thereof. They want them to say it's okay. Do you know the only reason we ended up with gay marriage and abortion in Northern Ireland was because England, Wales and Scotland have it? And that's it. That's the only reason. There is no health reason. There is no earthly health reason. There is no benefits to people's mental attitudes, to their physicalities, to their wealth, that homosexuality and the like should be encouraged, or that abortion should be encouraged. That is one of the most dangerous procedures that can ever be carried out, and there's always at least a 50% death rate in it. The biggest reason that Christians countenance sin in this world is because everybody else is doing it. And we ought to make sure that it stops with us. Now, it's not up to me to do that. It's only up to me to come up here and rant and rave for 20 minutes or 30 minutes. This might be one of the shorter ones, actually. It's entirely up to you. And God, whenever He comes back for us all, that are saved, He's not going to grab me by the neck and take me and point to you and say, "Mark, why didn't he do that?" He says, "Lord, that's not my problem. I preached. He heard. He just didn't do anything." And God will say, "Well, do you know what, Mark? You're right. It's up to you. God's not going to hold me accountable for things that you do or don't do. He's going to hold you accountable. And I don't want for you to get a rough ride off of God. And I don't want for you to have to get a thick ear off of God. And I don't want God to have to strip everything off of you until you get right with Him." So learn from other people's examples, and this powerful example of Gideon in the Word of God. And live close to Him. And listen to Him. And do what He says. And see if the miracles, if divine provision does not start to rear its head in your life. He loves us. And He wants the very best for us. But He's not going to give us our pocket money whenever we're wee devils. He's not going to pat us on the head and say, "That's a good lad," whenever we act like the devil. When we lie and we cheat and we steal. Yes, indeed, He does want to give us all good things, but we need to be His good children. So, whenever you ask why you can't see God in your life, whenever you don't feel His power in your life, ask yourself exactly where you are with God in your life. I'm stopping there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. We'll sing a closing song and then we will be done. Hymn number 185, and that'll be our closing hymn this evening. 185 is My Savior's Love.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Song shall ever be. sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone.
My marvelous,
my wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Savior's love for me.
When with the ransomed in glory, space at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me.
I'm marvelous, wonderful, and my song shall ever be. I'm marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Thank you for your good time, folks. Pray you have a good day. What's left of it? A good week until next we meet. Take care of yourselves. God bless you. Be with you, and let's be dismissed with a word of prayer. Christy, would you dismiss us, please, if you would?
We are thankful for Lord this service, for your salvation, for your mercy in everyone. We thank you for goodness for the message this evening, for this service, Lord, to be amongst brethren, Lord, in your house as well. Watch over those that couldn't be here, those that are downcast, Lord, and fighting silent battles. I pray that you'd intervene. Remember the private prayer request as well. Pray especially for Pat and Steve and their family at this time, Lord, with Edward as well, Lord, if it's be your will, Lord, turn around. If not, Lord, just comfort those in the roundabout, we pray. Thank you for all that you do, Lord. Watch over us, guide us in your will, we pray. Lord, save lost souls, please, and strengthen your children. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless you, folks. We are dismissed.